to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We've started a study here, and I'm so excited about it. I've told Melinda on the way over here, I think I'm seeing things that I've never seen, and I think the Lord's given me some light on some things that are just mysterious to me. They're just delightful to me, and I can't wait to bring them to you. I just hope the Lord will give me the ability to preach them. So let's read here. We're just going to take two verses and look here. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Our subject is love of election. Love of election. Now, no one knows his election until he's been called by the Holy Spirit, quickened, made alive, given life, faith in Christ. But for those who have, this doctrine, this truth of election is one of the most precious, precious truths that there is. Very precious. And it's precious to us because of the mystery that God reveals in this doctrine. Some who claim to believe the gospel are very offended at this doctrine, and they hate this doctrine. They hate it, despise it. Most think they're an authority on the Word of God, but the sad part is they think they are the authority and not God. They think they are the authority and not God. Even those who claim to say that the Scriptures are our only rule of faith and practice, they'll say that, but then when you preach this truth and they hear this gospel preached and this doctrine declared, they'll say, well, I don't believe that. This is what I think. This is how I think God does it. And they'll bring forth all sorts of reasons and all sorts of arguments that aren't the Word of God. And by that, what they're saying is, they don't think the Word of God's the rule of faith and practice. They think they are. And what they think is the rule. And so I understand that. I understand when somebody's offended, if they get offended at this doctrine. Because God's ways and God's thoughts contradict man's ways and man's thoughts. And it'll be that way until God in grace comes and he reconciles our thoughts and our ways to his thoughts and his ways. And so God says to us, he said, let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him. And to our God, for he'll abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's what he said. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then usually the final argument is, well, it's not God that I disagree with, it's the preacher. You know, there was a whole congregation one time that used that argument to say they weren't disagreeing with God, they were just disagreeing with the preacher. The bad thing was that preacher was God. It was God the Son of God. And the message he was preaching on one occasion when that happened, the first message he was preaching was the doctrine of election. It was this very doctrine. Right here. So I understand whenever somebody gets offended. But if Christ sends one of his witnesses to us, and we're preaching out of the Scripture, showing, comparing Scripture to Scripture, we do well to consider it might just be God that's speaking to us. It might be God that's speaking to us. You know, he does that in these days through his messengers, just like God spoke through him when he walked this earth and preached the gospel. All right, so here's his word. These words that I'm speaking, they're not my words. They're not my thoughts. This is God's word. So here's his word, verse 3. He said, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Now here's the first thing we see. Election originates with God the Father. God the Father. Verse 4, He says, "According as He hath chosen us." Election means a choice has been made. That's what it means. A choice has been made. He hath chosen. God the Father has elected whom He will. He has chosen whom He will. And those He has chosen shall be saved. There's no maybes about it. They shall be saved. Now there are two primary reasons why God the Father chose a people in Christ. Two primary reasons. The first reason is that in all, Christ will have the preeminence. Because it pleased God that in Him should all fullness dwell. It pleased God to set up the Son of His love and glorify the Son of His love before all. And He's going to have that glory. And the second reason is vitally connected with that reason. The second reason is, it says that He, in verse 9, it says that He may make known unto us the mystery of His will. The mystery of His gospel. Some places call it the mystery of His glory. According to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. And that mystery is what I want you to see today when we get to the end of the message. So let's stay with me here. But notice here, God's choosing His people is the first blessing. It's the chief blessing through which all the other blessings come. Look at verse 3. It says, "God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." And then verse 4 says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him." Do you see that? Now the chapter lists all this lists these spiritual blessings. It lists sanctification, adoption, acceptance, redemption, forgiveness, regeneration, revelation, faith, preservation, resurrection, and eternal inheritance. But God the Father blessed us with all those spiritual blessings according as He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. This doctrine of election is a glorious truth, because therein is how God gave us all these other spiritual blessings, is in this doctrine of election, or in election. So first of all, God the Father is the fountain of this grace. He did the electing. He hath chosen. And then secondly, we see here that God the Father chose us in Christ. Now first of all, to say that God chose us in Christ, it means God first chose Christ. He first chose Him. Christ Jesus is the preeminent elect Son of God. Isaiah 42:1 says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." He upholds Him and He says, "Now behold Him, this is mine elect. This is my chosen. I chose Him. This is the one in whom my soul delighteth." That's what God says to His people. The Lord God chose Christ because He is the Son of His love. He loves Him. And He chose Him because the whole purpose in salvation, in creating this world and creating a people in this world and calling out His people in this world, the whole purpose of it is to glorify His Son, is to show forth His glory in His Son, in the person of His Son. And God the Father revealed to His Son, when He chose Him, He revealed to His Son the mystery of His will. He revealed it to Him. He spoke to Him in this council of peace, this everlasting covenant that He made. He spoke to His Son, and He revealed the purpose which God the Father had purposed in Himself. And so Christ entered into this covenant with Him, an everlasting covenant with Him. Having been told all things that it pleased the Father to do, Christ entered into the covenant with him to do everything that it pleased the Father to do for this chosen people that he gave to him. He would come forth and he would fill all things. This is what God gave him to do, to fill all in all. And so Christ would come forth, and the first thing he would do is he would fill a human body that God had made for him. And he would fill that human body with the glory of all the divine perfections. If you want to see the perfection of God, don't look to the law. We're not told to do that. We're told to look to Christ. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's where we're going to see the perfection of God. And so it was so that these children that God chose to save could have a conception, could enter into who the invisible God is, in this one who in a body is the express image of God. And so he filled that body with the divine perfections of God. And then he fulfilled everything that was written in the Scriptures that the Scriptures said he would do. In fact, he filled those Scriptures. He made those Scriptures. The Scriptures, all the prophets of old spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of Christ, as he told them what to write. He told them what to write, what he was going to do, what he was going to fulfill. And then he came forth and fulfilled everything that was written. And he fulfilled the justice of the law. Everything, or the righteousness of it by his obedience throughout his life. He fulfilled that for his people. He said, I came to fulfill the law. And he fulfilled the justice of it by his obedience unto death. He fulfilled the law. And then God raised him to his right hand and gave him power over all things to be the head over all things to his church, which is his body, the fullness of him, to fill all in all. And so he fills each of his elect children individually full of grace through the Spirit, through the gospel. He fills them himself. And in doing so, he unites them into his body, and he fills his body. And he's going to keep doing this and keep doing this work until we all come, all the elect, into the unity of the faith, to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That doesn't mean till we grow up and bust our britches because we're so good. It means until he fully calls out all of his elect who are the fullness of him, the fullness of his body, and his body's complete. They've all been called. He's filling all that. So when God the Father chose him and the Son of God agreed, right then, Christ became the mediator of his people, the surety of his people. He became the husband and head of his people right then. God the Father chose his Son, and he looked at his Son and he said, it's not meet that he should be alone. And he gave him a bride. He gave him a bride to be a helpmeet to him. Through his grace, there'll be a helpmeet to him, through whom he's going to birth these children. And when he did that, the Lord said, then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and said, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen out of the people. He said, I found David my servant. Here he is. He's the one of whom earthly David was a picture and a type, made after this one. And I've anointed him with oil, with holy oil. And with whom my hand shall be established, he said, and my arm shall also strengthen him. He said, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. All of this is happening in eternity, every bit of this. And because God the Father chose us in him, chose his elect in him, right then, Christ became the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Right then. And because he chose his people in him, and Christ became our surety for this people that he chose, right then, God the Father saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Right there. all through this choosing Him and choosing this people in Him. All spiritual blessings, brethren, are wrapped up. Every spiritual blessing that's going to come to pass in time is all wrapped up in God choosing His people in Christ Jesus. And as Christ being our surety, right then, that's why it says God blessed us with all spiritual blessings according as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Because there was no possibility, no remote possibility, that this faithful Son of God's love would not come forth and fulfill everything that He agreed to fulfill. God rested from all His works, entrusting all the works into the hands of His Son right there, and the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Election's a blessing because it's by that choosing of God the Father that we read, of God are you in Christ. That's when it took place. And because God's first elect shall not fail, it's certain He shall save His people from our sins. And because Christ filleth all in all, because He does it, that means Christ is all in all. He is. And all spiritual blessings are wonderful. They're just wonderful. But this one who's fulfilling all spiritual blessings, He's the blessing. He's given to us for a covenant of the people. He's the covenant. I get so sick of hearing men want to talk about we're going to talk about New Covenant theology. And boy, they get to talking and just slicing and dicing everything about New Covenant theology. And they never talk about Him who is the covenant. He is the covenant. Christ is the covenant. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. The first thing He did in obedience to the Father was He made everything. All principality and power, everything. It was all made by Him and for Him. Every bit of it. That was His first work, fulfilling this work for the Father. His first work. All right, so second, that's it. Secondly, it was in Christ. Now, thirdly, all this was done, verse 4 says, before the foundation of the world. All of it was done before the foundation of the world. Time hadn't been made yet. So that's great assurance to us. And here's why. Because God's choice of His people was an eternal act of God. It was an eternal act of the eternal God. Before time ever existed. And therefore, nothing in time can ever change or alter what He did in eternity. Nothing. It was the will of God. And God does not change. It was the will of God. He has no new will. There's nothing new that happens in time that wasn't His will from all eternity. His will doesn't change. Therefore, the choice God made of His people, when He put them in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, remains unchanged forever. And that's great assurance. Great assurance. It's the purpose which God purposed in Himself. That's what Christ was given to do. The purpose which God purposed in Himself before the foundation of the world. God's purpose is as eternal and as immovable as Himself. And because it was purposed in Himself, nothing outside of Himself can change it. That means the objects that He chose can't change it. Nothing we do can change it. Sin entering in couldn't change it. Our sin now can't change it. Can't change it. Turn over to Matthew 25. I want to show you something here. It says there He did this before the foundation of the world. And Hebrews 4 says, when God trusted the work to His Son, the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now look at what our Lord told us in this parable in Matthew 25:34. Christ said, in the end, the king shall say to those on His right hand, come ye, blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Already done. For the foundation of the world. Now, Have you trusted Christ with all, first, trusted Him with you and with all the work required to make you the righteousness of God? Have you? That's what God the Father did with His elect. He trusted them all to Christ, and He trusted Christ to do all the work necessary to make them the righteousness of God. And God calls His people to do that, to trust us to Him and everything that's required to make us the righteousness of God. Trust it all to Him. Are you resting in Christ from all your works like God did from His? That's what He did when He put His people in Christ. Do you trust God that He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life right then from the foundation of the world? Because Christ has blotted out all the sins of His people so that not one name written in that Lamb's Book of Life can ever be blotted out. I had a dear sister ask me the other day, she said, "Can our names be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life?" And I thought, where in the world did you get that? And she read a scripture in the Old Testament, and a preacher told her it could be. A preacher told her if she didn't act right and do right, her name could be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. When have you ever done right? When have we ever done right? Never. Never. Christ has done right. And that's why our name's not written out of the Lamb's Book of Life. As sure as God's choice of Christ is from everlasting to everlasting, as sure as God's choice of Christ is from everlasting to everlasting, so His choice of those He chose in Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. All right, that's the third thing. This thing is eternal. Eternal. All right, here's the fourth thing. This is another reason that the doctrine of election is such a comfort to His people. Verse 4. God hath chosen us in Christ that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Now, some corrupt the doctrine of election by saying that God chose a people because God foresaw that in time they would believe on Him. That's not true. That is not true. That would make election, God's election of grace, to be based on works, on our merit, rather than on the free and sovereign grace of God. God chose, look at 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. God chose His people in Christ. That was the first blessing. That was a blessing of grace. And then all spiritual blessings became ours because He chose us in Christ. They all followed from that blessing of grace. So then 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you because He did it by grace. Brethren, you're beloved of the Lord. Be loved, loved before of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. And then look what followed. He chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. That followed on the heels of election. That was one of that first spiritual grace He gave us, that we'd be holy through sanctification of the Spirit and faith. Faith's a gift of this blessing. Belief of the truth. Whereunto He called you. Regeneration. Revelation. That's a gift of this that follows through this blessing of election. And He did it by our gospel. He sent the gospel to His people in truth, not in a lie, so that we obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because God chose us, all these blessings followed, and they're all by grace. They're all by grace. So our holiness is the effect of God's election, not the cause of it. Our faith is the effect of God's election of grace, not the cause of it. And it's all of grace. You notice eternal glorification? That's going to be an effect of this electing grace too. How absurd would it be for God to say God looked down through time and saw that we would eternally glorify ourselves and therefore He chose us? It'd be just as absurd to say He looked down through time and saw we'd believe. The whole reason He did this, brethren, was to save us by grace, by grace, by grace. Scripture says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Not according to our works. Not according, but according to His own purpose, that He purposed in Himself, and His own grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, and is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. By Him appearing in this earth, by Him appearing in this gospel that goes forth that He sends, and by His appearing in our heart, brethren, when He is formed in us, He abolishes death and He brings life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's what He does. The election of grace is what it's called. And if it's by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But here's even more assurance. Even more assurance in this on this point right here. Because the Lord God chose us in Christ that we should be holy and without blame before Him, even when we fell in Adam, even when we died and came forth in trespasses and in sins, God the Father has always seen us in Christ holy and without blame before Him. If that was not the case, brethren, He'd have destroyed this world the moment Adam sinned in the garden. That's right. Here's the fifth thing. All of these blessings. Now this is what I want you to see. This is wonderful. All of these blessings given to us in God's electing grace, verse 4 says, the very last two words, is in love. It's in love. This is the mystery of God's will right here. The Father loved Christ. He loved Him. And therefore, He chose Christ from the foundation of the world, and He gave Christ His glory. That is, He revealed to Christ the purpose which He purposed in Himself. He revealed it to Christ. And so Christ came forth and He redeemed His people by His blood and by laying down His life for us. And then Christ was raised up and given all this power so that He could send the gospel to us. Look down at verse 8. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. Now here's what it is. This is what it is. This is the mystery right here. This is the purpose He purposed in Himself from the beginning. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. The praise of God's glory. God's glory. He did all of this. Now, to turn over to John 17. John 17. He did all of this to gather us together in Christ. This was His glory. This was His purpose. This was the mystery of His will, hidden in that He purposed in Himself from before the world began. Now look. Look now. In John 17:22, Christ prayed to the Father, and He spoke concerning those to whom Christ had revealed this mystery. This had given them the gospel. He had given them the glory God gave to Him. That is the gospel, the word that God gave to Him. And look, He says this, and watch what He says. Verse 22, the glory which Thou gavest Me, I've given them. The word glory there is referring to this revelation, this word, the mystery, the gospel. He gave it to them. That's that glory which God the Father gave to Him. All right, now look, and He adds something. And He tells us, now this is the mystery, just what we just read in Ephesians, but He adds something to it. He says, I've given it to them. Now here it is. This is what the mystery is. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one. This was God's purpose, what He purposed in Himself from the world before the world began. That the world may know that Thou hast sent Me. Now here's what He adds to Ephesians. That they may know that Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Now this is the mystery. This is the love of election right here. Now get this. Let me try to put all this together. From the foundation of the world, God loved His Son so much that He purposed in Himself that He would give His Son all preeminence, make all fullness to dwell in His Son, give Him the full inheritance of everything that is God's. And God loved His elect as He loves Christ. With the same love that He loves His Son. With that love. That fervent. That love. And so He gave them to Christ. This was the purpose He purposed in Himself. He gave them to Christ to come forth and do God's will. And to give us an inheritance. And to give us all fullness with Christ. That's what God purposed in Himself. And so when He made this purpose known to Christ from the foundation of the world, Christ said, I'll do it. He said, I'll do it. His purpose was that He would do both. He would exalt His Son and glorify His Son and give His Son all preeminence and give Him the inheritance by sending His Son forth for them and having His Son to do all this work for them so that He put away all their sins and glorified all the perfections of God so that when God raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand, He raised them and set them at His own right hand. When He gave His Son the inheritance, He gave them the inheritance. And He gave His Son the glory now to go forth and reveal this mystery to them through the gospel and divide that inheritance with them. And so, Christ sends this gospel as our head and He reveals this mystery of the Father to us through His gospel. This exceeding great love that the Father has toward us, which unites us together through the Spirit with Him, through faith, to where we see His overabounding love toward us, and that love constrains us to be united to Him. And so we see now, because God loved Christ, and everything Christ received from the Father, Christ has given it to us, and we're joint heirs with Him of everything He has. And for right now, we have the earnest of the Spirit of promise. And it is Christ, the Spirit is our earnest that He's coming back for this purchased possession. He's coming back to get us. And so with that, brethren, through this gospel then, He camps us, plants us right in His house. And we start hearing Him declare this over and over and over to us. And this is how He strengthens us. And this is how He makes His bride useful to spread forth this word. So that while we're waiting for Him to return, we're helping Him to spread the word so that He's calling out the others to unite and fill up His body. It's just, I can't put it into words, but it's beautiful. The purpose of God to save His people through the gospel is to unite His people. And He does it by revealing this great love toward us and what He's done. And at the same time gives Christ all this glory. And He keeps telling us, all of this has happened because the Father loves you as He loves me. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son, the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. This is the love of election. You see how much people betray of their own heart when they say, I hate the doctrine of election. The love for which God the Father elected Christ and elected us in Him. It's the love for which Christ loved the Father and loved us and laid down His life for the Father and for us. And it's the love by which we declare this glorious doctrine and aren't ashamed of it to anybody because we're constrained by His love. It's the love of election. Because we behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Is it any wonder men don't like us? Any wonder men hate what we preach? Any wonder men... It says, therefore the world knows us not, because the world didn't know Him. Didn't know Him. Do you see the love of election? I know I'm stumbling around on it, but I'll just go back and listen again if you have to. Read the notes or something. It's so glorious. It's so wonderful. Amen.